Now, back to the Bob Morning Show, brought to you by DJ's Home Services. Total Country Bob FM.
Since I have newfound respect for Neil because he apparently shot, killed, and ate a squirrel, I'm sure hope it wasn't the chocolate squirrel like Brick ate on Anchorman when they were talking about diversity, the need of an old wooden ship. But I'm going to have you come up with the quiz question. Think you can do that from your kitchen table?
Yeah, I'll
come up
I'll
with something. Could be something you said. Could be something I said.
Okay.
Any of that will certainly fit because we're giving away tickets to the Oak Ridge Boys, the big farewell tour, American-made farewell tour. And that is a week from tonight at the Medina. What time do the doors open for that show, Neil? Usually it's 8 o'clock music, right? Music at 8?
Yes. 7 o'clock, doors are going to open maybe even a few minutes before, and then 8 o'clock, and the show's over by 9:15, 9:30. So it'll be an early show for the Oak Ridge Boys, no warm-up band. That's the way they like to do it, and they like to start early and end early.
Is Robert's restaurant, bar, lounge down there still open, or are they converted over to a nail salon like so many other restaurants, Neil?
It's now Robert's Reindeer Jingle Lounge or something. They have it all lit up.
Oh, my.
You have to see the lights and everything that they have going on. It is very festive.
But they still serve food.
They still serve great food and a refreshing cocktail.
Okay, that's all we need. Did I do the bell? I did, didn't I? Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Put that away. The Bob Almanac, no Bob Almanac salute today, so right into it for Wednesday, November 6th, 311th day of the year, 1941. We're going to start out here this time around hearing from one of our presidents. We're going to hear from FDR. Franklin, take it.
Yes, from America they need food, and from America they will get food. They need tanks and guns and ammunition and supplies of all kinds. From America they will get tanks and guns and ammunition and supplies of all kinds.
You gotta love FDR and his cadence during his speeches, don't you think? And you know, back in the day, the presidents knew that they had to project their voice because the audio recording equipment of the time just wasn't to the point where it is here today.
Right.
They couldn't process it. They couldn't lift the level if they needed to or have automatic gain control. They didn't have any of that. So they knew that they had to shout.
They had to project.
They had to project, and that was FDR talking about the Lend-Lease program during World War II. Now, we were not yet into World War II. He made that speech in April of 41, and on this date in 41, we lent the Soviet Union $1 million to the Soviets.
At that time, that was a lot of dough.
Because they were starting to have, they were having to fend off the Nazis already. And we weren't yet involved, although we were about a month away, Neil.
Yeah,
month
not much longer.
No. And overall,
we might ask for that loan back.
Right,
a month
we
need later.
It.
Hey,
we
hold
need it.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they ever paid us back completely. And that's one of the things here. Nobody's ever completely paid us back, I don't think, for all the things that America has done for them, all the other countries. I don't know if they could even pay us back. But
I think
in today's dollars, I think it was, I saw a stat that the Soviet Union during World War II received $11.3 billion in military supplies from us.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's no guarantee that Stalin used all of that for the military.
No, he may not have.
He knew what was going on. He knew he was going to have to. He wanted to win the war, and obviously then he would spread communism, and that's exactly what ended up happening. I saw how much of that money was used for military and how much was it put into the old bank there in Moscow to be used for...
Used at the casino.
Right, or to build the... Well, he had to build an Iron Curtain.
Well, that costs.
Those are not expensive, Iron Curtains. They don't need ironing. 1941. How about 47 on television?
It's kind of like TV theme time.
It is, because it's Meet the Press. Meet the Press has been on television since 1947.
Wow.
It debuted on NBC as a local program in Washington, D.C. And it then eventually went national on NBC. And then, well, I guess the rest is history.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the current host of it? I don't even watch it. I don't know. Is it that Chuck Todd guy? Is he still doing it? It was Tim Russert there for the longest time before he passed away.
And it was, who was the guy? Ed,
he was on SNL and he was so good. Not Ed Koch, but,
Ed, yeah, I don't know.
I can see him.
I can see him, too. But, longtime host of Meet the Press. But, I think maybe it is that Chuck Todd, guy with two first names.
So, which would be a great on-air name for a radio DJ. Always
yes,
is.
Would.
1970 this date, the Twins had themselves a Cy Young winner.
The starters on our pitching staff, of course, were led by Jim Perry. And I think Jim's effectiveness lies in the fact that he can grind you. He's always ahead. He is good sinker and a good sliding ball, but he's always strike one and strike two, and this is what makes him so effective.
Yeah, he was a 20-game winner. That's manager Bill Rigney there, mm-hmm. talking about Jim Perry, who wins the first Cy Young Award for the Minnesota Twins. And what? We've only had two others, right? Viola
and
Johan Santana.
And Johan, yeah, I think that's it.
Edward, what was the guy's name? Edward?
Not Edward Murrow.
Thinking about that.
Edward Newman.
Yes.
Edward Newman.
Edward Newman. Yes,
there
exactly. And he was on SNL. That might be a good question for the quiz.
It might be.
If you want to end right there.
I'll give it consideration.
Were you among the thousands of Twins fans that used to call Bill Rigney Captain Hook? He used to take his pictures out early, from what I hear.
Yes, I do. He took over for Billy Martin and had a good team. I mean, we did win the American League West again in his first year, and then again were eliminated in three games by the Orioles.
1973.
I'm here to pick up a coffin. It seems awfully heavy for an empty coffin.
Yeah.
The body was stolen.
Who the hell steals the body?
What are you doing?
Stolen Graham.
You stole Graham Parsons?
Technically, we stole Graham Parsons.
So this is the date, though, with Graham Parsons. Didn't he just have a birthday? Was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah,
would have been.
Gone but not forgotten's. It's always his birthday, though. You don't, when somebody's in the gone but not forgotten, you don't say that they would have had a birthday. It's their birthday forever.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
That's just something that that we live by here, and sometimes we misspeak and
sure.
we don't follow through with that credo. But sometimes we got to remind people of that.
Yeah.
Graham Parsons' manager Phil Kaufman and another guy Michael Martin got arrested and fined, but I don't think they ever did any hard time, for stealing the coffin of Graham Parsons with his body in it at LA International. They claim that it was Graham Parsons' wish to be cremated and burned at the Joshua Tree, at Cap Rock and the Joshua Tree in California. That place had a spiritual meaning to Graham Parsons, so that's what they did. Graham Parsons said he wanted it. You know, he was one of the innovators of country rock. We might not have had the Eagles or Poco without Graham Parsons. Think about that for a moment. And he was cremated and burned. They burned the coffin. I mean, they did it right there. And campers saw it. And then they said that, oh, there goes. They actually did it in a hearse. So at least they did it up to code with the hearse. You know, they just didn't bring it up there in on a trailer or something, or a flatbed. So they actually did carry it up there in a hearse. And then they saw the hearse drive by, and then they chased him down. That clip that I showed you was the Johnny Knoxville movie, which is called Grand.
Okay.
That wasn't actually from the event. Grand Theft Parsons was a movie that Johnny Knoxville did.
Very clever.
1986.
And now, Ford brings you the age of Aerostar. Aerostar, the most aerodynamic design in its class. Aerostar, it's easy to get in, easy to drive, easy to stretch
Aerostar.
Out in. Easy to handle, easy to park. Aerostar. It just makes life a little easier.
Aerostar. Yeah. They were using Age of Aquarius for the Ford Aerostar was introduced on this date. It was Ford's answer to the Plymouth Voyager and the Chrysler. The minivans were taken over, the Caravan and the Voyager, and Ford felt the need to get into the market. And I remember there was a short time my dad, I remember him bringing it up. I don't know if he's just complimenting the vehicle, but I think he was thinking about going with a Ford Aerostar, and I'm so glad that he didn't, because we had Suburbans, which is a little more manly. I was just at the point about to get my driver's license. I didn't want to drive an Aerostar to school.
I understand
Give me a four-wheel drive, even though it's rusty, Chevy Suburban over an Aerostar any day.
But
the Aerostar came out in 86. How about 95?
Money talks, poor teams walk, and if the money available from a new stadium to be built in Baltimore outweighs a half century of tradition in Cleveland, off they go. So today, owner Art Modell announced he is moving his Cleveland Browns to Baltimore for next year. They'll play 2 years at the Memorial Stadium before moving into a brand new and lucrative home after generations by Lake Erie.
Oh my goodness, the Browns are moving Art Modell. I'm sure he's dead by now, isn't he? He's got to be.
Yes.
He looked 80 in 95.
Right.
But Art Modell, guy with the Browns, I'm sure they still don't say his name without saying it in vain in Cleveland.
Right.
Even though the Browns got a team back and they got all the records. But they moved to become the Baltimore Ravens estate in 1995.
And once again, they're playing to empty buildings in Cleveland.
So where's Cleveland going to move next?
Where are they going to move next?
Yeah. Let's go to Topeka. Right. So that was 95. And 2001. You could say that's TV theme time, Neil.
It was.
It's a series 24 debut.
Yes,
Kiefer Sutherland made its debut on Fox. That was the first, even though we didn't have streaming then, you had to buy the DVD or VHS, but that was one of the first real binging shows, because you had to go on, because it just carried over to the next one, because every show was an actual, like, the series, the whole season was 24 hours. It was one day with 24 episodes. Every episode was an actual hour.
Yeah.
It definitely was. And I remember I didn't watch it, was originally on, but then we got the DVDs, and yes, you just binge. You'd go one after another after another after another after another. We have birthdays, and again, be listening, because an almanac quiz for Oak Ridge Boys tickets, it's going on here today, so stay tuned. Birthdays now.
Yeah, Tony Atlas, you came out here and you challenged Tim Patera at his own game. And what happened? You got mopped up, you got hit by a chair, you got hit by a table, and you got hit by size 12 Triple E, baby. Well, this time it's going to be a knuckle sandwich for the little black boy from Roanoke, Virginia.
So we learned here today that Ken Patera wears a size 12 Triple E, because he sent one up beside the head of Tony Atlas.
That's a wide foot.
Ken Patera, he was the Olympic strongman.
That's like a square.
He's from Portland, Oregon, and he was a professional wrestler. He was an Olympic strongman. He was in the weightlifting competition in the Olympics. I want to say either 72 or 76, somewhere in there, probably, right? And then he came to the AWA and was part of the Heenan family and various other incarnations. He was a sheik there for a while. Got involved with Mr. Saito and did some time place at a McDonald's restaurant in Wisconsin, I think it was. His brother, do you know his brother? Remember? Do you remember Jack Patera? He was the head coach of the Seahawks for six seasons.
Sure.
Jack Patera. That was Ken Patera's brother, yeah. Ken
Patera. Did he have a 12 Triple E? I'm pretty sure it was close.
Yeah. So Ken Patera today is 81.
Where are we going? No, don't tell me. Let me guess. We are a bride in search of a wedding.
No.
No?
There is a wedding in search of a bride. Let me put it another way. Think of it as a wedding posse in search of a bride. Do you understand that, cowboy?
He had a hat, so she thought she would put it in cowboy terms and say there was a posse. Sally Field. Sally Field. Great movie, of course. Smokey and the Bandit. She was in the Gump movie and Amazing Spider-Man, and she won an Emmy for Sybil. You Like Me, You Really Like Me.
Sure.
Gidget and the Flying Nun. How could we forget that? 78.
Gump, yeah. So
78 for Sally Field.
This is NBC News Digest. Here is Maria Shriver, NBC News.
Good evening. Defense Secretary Frank Carlucci says he will strongly oppose any plan to use troops as law enforcement.
Maria, get down. Get down. Get to the chopper. So the former wife of Arnold Schwarzenegger, Maria Shriver.
Trusted news anchor, though.
Yeah, she was.
I thought she was very good.
Well, she's part of the Shriver family and the Kennedy family. The Shrivers, the Kennedys, the whole thing. Yes, she was part of royalty, really. Royalty, and then I don't know if she used those connections to get her job at NBC, but she did fine.
Yeah, she did very well.
Yeah, exactly. She's 69 today.
Don't you talk like that in here!
Why not? Isn't this where I'm supposed to confess my sins to my preacher? In church!
67 for Lori Singer. She was the girl on Footloose.
Oh, yeah.
Very skinny.
Yeah, she was skinny.
Kevin Bacon was a girlfriend, wanted her, and she was with the other guy who was a jerk. And guess what? Kevin Bacon, Wren, won her over.
Yep.
Because she could go to church and, well, if your dad is John Lithgow, look out.
Right. Right.
So her name is Lori Singer from Footloose, and she's 67. It's another TV theme, Neil. People may remember the show 21 Jump Street.
Oh, sure.
It was actually quite revolutionary, and it was one of the first shows that Fox ever had. That was very early in the Fox history of them having primetime programming. And the son of Dom DeLuise, Peter DeLuise,
is
58 today. 21 Jump Street. That's a good one. Neil, you'll like this one here. You know that the remake of Magnificent Seven?
Oh, yeah.
You liked that, didn't you?
I did, yeah. It was good.
Happy birthday, Ethan Hawke.
That's hard to do. This many men miss that many targets? Twice?
I'm looking at a line of dead men.
You gotta hate what you're firing at! Hate it! Come on, get some gravel in your craw!
You got to get some gravel in your craw. Neil, when's the last time you've had gravel in your craw?
Fell off my bike when I was a kid. And
I thought maybe when you crashed your golf cart.
There, yeah,
one of the non-tarred, the gravel part of the cart path. Ethan Hawke is 54. Rebecca Romijn.
Pilot!
You know, people like you are the reason I was afraid to go to school as a child.
Hey, she didn't like guys with glasses and blonde hair. That's Rebecca Romijn. That's her as Mystique. You know, they had Jennifer Lawrence and Rebecca Romijn as Mystique in the X-Men films. They chose pretty wisely there.
I would say very well.
She was married to John Stamos until she found out that he was drumming for the Beach Boys.
Right.
And she said no more. Rebecca Romijn is 52. Lamar Odom, the basketball player, wasn't he connected with one of the Kardashians?
Yes, I don't know which one. No. It wasn't Kim.
No, I think it was
one of the other sisters.
Chloe, maybe.
That sounds right.
And didn't he overdo it at a brothel?
He did.
He overdid it.
The little blue pill. He took a lot of them. I can't remember how many.
Mm. Lamar Odom.
He kind of OD'd on him.
Lamar Odom, 45.
I thought we'd both be drunk.
What does me being drunk have anything to do with it?
You would get with me if you were sober. Look at you. Look at me.
Seth, come on, you didn't blow it. I think maybe... What the...
She just got headbutted by Jonah Hill, who was falling over because he was drunk. She was not.
Right.
And a very touching scene from Superbad. Emma Stone here today.
One of a number of touching scenes from Superbad.
Yes, that's a good movie. It really is.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, 36 today.
Gone but not forgotten. We're going to start with a financial expert. He recreated, published the Wall Street Journal. Pretty smart finance guy. I could use him. Charles, you do not call him Chuck Dow. He founded the Dow Jones Company with Edward Jones. Now the March King, John Philip Sousa. Stars and Stripes Forever, of course, Semper Fi. 140 marches, Jim. The guy was a genius. Conductor, composer, John Philip Sousa, right there, 1854. Did he create basketball? He helped. I think he gets credit. Dr. James Naismith, born on this day, 1861. One of the, well, he's in the Twins lineage, really. Goes back to the Washington Senators. Maybe the one of the top five, I think, greatest pitchers of all time. Walter Big Train Johnson. Second in wins to Cy Young at 417, a zillion strikeouts. The guy sadly died at a very young age of brain tumor. I think he was not even 60 yet when he passed. Walter Johnson, 1887. How about, do you remember Dr. Zachary Smith from the television show Lost in Space? It was played by actor Jonathan Harris, 1914.
It lowers my thermal balance to a point where all senses perform at optimum efficiency.
Be still, you babbling bird brain. No one is interested in your state of health. Pull, ninny.
Neil, I need to call you a ninny more often than I do.
Yes, yes. Feel free. It's a term of endearment for me. Actor Jonathan Harris, I should say, born on this day in 1914. He had his own singers. Bandleader Ray Conniff and the Ray Conniff Singers. And his orchestra.
This is the kind of music they asked Adrian Cronauer to play.
Yes.
In Saigon. The Ray Conniff Singers. This is rock and roll. Somewhere from the Delta to the DMZ. There will and then they play Ray Conniff.
Yeah, it's... it's church music without the church theme. Ray Conniff, born on this day in 1916. One of the greats, one of the founding members of the Eagles. We lost him not that long ago, sadly. The great Glenn Frey, 1948.
Are you going to stay with the one who loves you? Or are you going back to
nice call
the
here.
You?
On kazoo, the great kazoo.
There it is.
That was good.
It just came. My computer said it was enough. When your computer says your kazoo playing is enough, and Windows shuts down, it's time to stop
it.
Playing said kazoo.
Put it back in the drawer. Glenn Frey, what a great talent. 1948, fiery temper at times. Actor Lance Kerwin. I don't know a whole lot about him. He was in James at 15, which I've
and
never heard of.
Salem's Lot.
Oh, okay.
He was killing vampires. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
I think they're dead, Father.
Run!
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, so, and he did. He ended up with the help of Hutch. Starsky was nowhere to be found, but Hutch, David Soul, don't give up on us, baby.
Right.
Don't give us up on us, baby, with Lance Kerwin, who went out and they killed vampires and wooden stake, the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've lost him, sadly, at a young age. He was born on this day, 1960. Another one, sadly, it was tragically taken from us, was actress Rebecca Schaefer, 1967.
Hi, I'm Patty Russell, and this is my sister, Sam. I just moved in. We haven't lived together since we were kids. I was raised by our aunt and uncle.
Yeah, things sure have changed. I used to dress her. I can't wear this out in public.
This makes up for the haircut you gave me when I was 3.
She helped to single-handedly revive the career of Pam Dauber.
And did a nice job.
But she was shot at her front door by a fan.
By a crazy person. Just so super sad. 1967 for Rebecca Schaefer. And one more, football star Pat Tillman. He was the guy who turned down the big money football contract to go with the military. After 9/11, he was killed in 2004 during a mission in Afghanistan, sadly. And we remember him and thank him for his service. Pat Tillman, 1976. Jim, they're all gone, but not forgotten.
I was born in Macon, Georgia.
Oh, boy.
Stonewall Jackson was left by your staff.
One of the good ones. Yeah,
Dad said, son.
He washed his hands in muddy water. Ever done that, Neil, when you're out squirrel hunting?
Yeah.
Watch out, that's not mud. Watch out on the way. That's not mud. But I fell in. All right, so yeah, it's Stonewall Jackson, 1932. Now they're all
gone, but not forgotten.
Did you come up with a question?
I did. I've waffled back and forth on several.
Oh, good.
I think what I'm going to do.
And that's funny because you're sitting close to your waffle iron, which is really funny.
It worked out well. Let's go with the what Twins manager did we hear from?
Oh, okay. Yes.
What Twins manager did we hear from? He's talking about our a Cy Young Award winner, and Jim played an audio clip for him, and then we mentioned his name. What Twins manager appeared here on today's Bob Almanac? 763-450-0100. First correct caller that Jim answers will win those Oak Ridge Boys tickets for a week from today.
I think we'll even take his nickname that fans gave him.
Yes, that would be good too.
Because of how he handled his pitching staff.
Yep.
So, would you like to start a Bobathon with Leroy Parnell? What kind of fool do you think I am? Oh. Gene Watson, you're out doing what I'm here doing without. Or Ty Herndon, I want my goodbye back.
I'm feeling like Gene Watson to lead us off today.
WQPM Princeton, WLKX Forest Lake, KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KDGY Faribault, KLCI Elk River, KLCI HD1 Elk River.